This is Pastor Ron Franklin at Covenant Community Church, and you're listening to Covenant Living Today. You see, what it comes down to is this. When we worry, it is a slap in the face to God. It's a slap in the face to God. It's telling God, God, I'm not sure you can handle my business. So I need to worry about it for myself. Look back in Matthew chapter 6. Start with verse 24. Look at this. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will put on. Is life not more than food, and the body more than clothing? Do you see what he's saying? When we worry about what we're going to have in life, about getting our needs met, what we are doing is dividing our loyalty between our needs and God himself. He says you cannot serve two masters. You can't serve both God and money. You got to make up your mind. Which one are you going to serve? If you're going to serve God, you can't be worried about your money. And if you're worried about your money, that will get in the way of you serving God. That's what he's saying. Look at this, verse 26 of Matthew chapter 6. Look at the birds of the air. For they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Verse 28. So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? What's he saying here? It's a faith issue. It's a faith issue. God says, look, all you have to do is look at the birds. So when we worry about the things that are going on in our lives, what we are really saying to God is, oh yeah, God, I heard you when you said you'd take care of it, but I still think I kind of have to work on it for myself. Look at verses 31 and 32 of Matthew chapter 6. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. You see what he's saying? The Gentiles, that means in this context, the unsaved people. The Gentiles seek after all those things. You're acting like somebody who's not even saved. When you worry and fret about the things that you're concerned about in your life, not trusting God for them, you're acting just like an unsaved person. And he says, your Father knows that you need these things. Your Father knew you needed them before the world began. He already planned to give you what you need. Do you know that God already has it lined up for you to get what you need before you even get to the place where you need it? How many of you ride on the train sometime? You ride a train. Okay? When you get on the train, how many of you sit there in the car trying to steer the train and make it go where it's supposed to go? How many of you do that? No, why not? Because the train is on a track. As long as the train keeps moving, what? It's going to get where it's supposed to get to. If you just keep moving, the track is going to take you there. Well, catch this. Before the foundation of the world, God put your provision on a track to meet you where you're going. If you stay on your track, He will keep the provision on its track. There will be twists and turns. It may take some days, but sooner or later, if you stay on track, you're going to come to the intersection where you meet up with the track that your provision is on, and you'll get there at the same time, and God will say, here it is. Hallelujah. But you know what so many of us do? We get to worrying, and we get to fretting. Oh, God. So instead of keeping on doing what God told us to do, we start doing something different. It's just like instead of staying on the track and keeping moving, we get off the train and we go and find a switch and say, this track doesn't look like it's taking me anyplace. Let me try another track. And we flip the switch. Now, when you flip the switch, what happens? You get off the track that's taking you to where God has set your provision. You're going someplace else. I don't know where you're going to end up. Atlantic City. Might end up in Miami, I don't know. But you will not end up in the place where God has your provision ready to meet you. You see, when we don't just keep on stepping, doing what God has called us to do, the moment we allow our worry to cause us to get off track with God, we are moving away from the provision He has already set in motion for us. God says, I got you covered. All you have to do is keep going. So here's the bottom line. If you are a worrier, you better deal with it. If you are a worrier, you need to deal with it. How do you deal with it? How do you deal with sin? Suppose you're a liar and you tell a lie. How do you deal with that? What do you do? Hope they don't find out. Is that what you do? You just told a lie. How do you handle it? Confess and repent. Confess and repent. If you stole something from the 7-Eleven, what do you need to do? Take it back. And what? Confess and repent. Now, by the way, let me step outside the message for a moment. This will help you. If you're one of those Christians who still find yourself telling lies when it's convenient, amen? God taught me this. See, because God caught me in a lie. And you know what He told me I had to do? You got to go back to the person you lied to. Number one, telling you lied. You, Mr. Big Time Christian, telling you lied. And then tell him the truth that you were too embarrassed to tell him in the first place, so you lied about it. Now, if you want to stop yourself lying, every time you tell a lie, just make up in your mind, as soon as the Holy Spirit convicts me of that lie, don't even let me put it that way. As soon as I realize I have lied, I make the commitment that I'm going to go confess my lie to the person I lied to. Now, I'll give you about two times before that breaks you a lie. Amen? Amen? And so, number one, whatever kind of sin it is, the way that I deal with it is I bring it to the Lord, I confess, and I repent. If you are a worrier, you need to repent. If you are a worrier, I don't care what the issue is. I don't care what you're afraid of. I don't care what you think you may not have enough of. I don't care what you think it is that maybe if you don't worry about it, God's not going to get done for you. If you are a worrier, you need to repent. 1 John 1:9, anybody know it? If we confess our sins, what is He? Faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to do what? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you are a worrier, you need to confess your worry as sin. Say, God, I am repenting of this. I'm turning around from this. I am confessing it to you. Cleanse me of this, Lord, because I have sinned. Step number one. Step number two. Look at verse 33 of Matthew chapter 6. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and everything that you've been worried about, God will take care of it. That's what He's saying. Now, what does it mean to seek first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness when you've been worried? Well, maybe you've been under pressure at work. Deadlines you can't seem to meet. People on your back all the time. And you've begun to worry, man, am I going to lose my job? Or maybe they're just never going to promote me. And you're worrying and you're stewing about it. Instead of that, you need to ask this question. What does God want me to do in this situation? Instead of worrying about it, instead of thinking about it, instead of going over it in your mind, oh, look how they're treating me. They're so unfair. Look at what they did to me. Oh, this is not right, and they're probably going to fire me. And instead of all that, ask one question. What does God want me to do in this situation? Well, Colossians chapter 3, verse 22 says this. Bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. You see, if you're going through it at work, all kinds of mess going on, and you don't know what's happening, and you're getting afraid, and you're getting worried, you can take your eyes off of all the mess. Keep your eyes on Jesus. He said, look, all I want you to do is be faithful. Do what you're supposed to do. Don't do it for them. Do it for me. Work as unto the Lord. Now let me ask this question. Let's meddle a little bit. If you were working for Jesus, if Jesus was your boss, I mean, you go into work and there is his office with Jesus Christ right on the door. How many of you would show up late for work if you worked for Jesus? Let me see. You're working for Jesus now. Jesus is your boss, all right? How many of you would take off early for lunch and stay late? Jesus is your boss. How many of you would be making personal phone calls and having long conversations on company time? Jesus is your boss. You see, if you get your focus not on what they're trying to do to you on the job and what might happen and, oh, I might lose it and all that stuff, but you just ask this question, what does God want me to be doing here? What is God's standard for me right now? If I'm working for Jesus, how am I going to handle this job? Let the mess go on all around you. You just keep your eye on Jesus. Do what God would have you do in that circumstance. And you know what his promise is? He'll bring you out all right. In fact, he says, look, when you work as unto the Lord and not to men, promotion will not come from the east or the west or the north. What? He says, I set one down, I raise another up. And when you work for Jesus and you do it the way you're supposed to, guess what? He'll raise you up. Amen. Understand this. Catch this. I don't care how bad your boss is. There is no boss that can keep you from getting promoted when Jesus is doing the promoting. Amen? So if you got pressure on the job, that's okay. You don't have to worry about it. Just look to Jesus. What does he want me to be doing? You may be under financial pressure. Oh, there are things you want to buy that you just don't have the money to buy right now. And the bills have started to pile up because even though you didn't have the money, you had a piece of plastic. Amen. And so you're under pressure. When the end of the month comes, man, you feel the pressure and you start worrying, where am I going to get the money to pay these bills? No, that's not what you need to be concerned about. What you need to be concerned about is what would God have me do in this circumstance? Well, for example, look at Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. You see, instead of worrying about how am I going to get money to pay my bills and to get the things I want to get, do what God told you to do. And God says, I'll take care of supplying your financial need. If you'll step out on faith, what did he say? I'll open up the windows of heaven so that you will not have even room enough to receive it. But what? You got to do what God called you to do. Worrying about it's not going to bring a single penny into your pocket. You understand this? Catch this. How many rich folks do we have here? I mean, you consider yourself to be wealthy financially. You got money in the bank. Okay, I don't see any hands here. I'm going to have to ask the Lord to send us some wealthy folks. Amen. Now catch this. I already know you all worry. So if worry can help your finances, how come you're not rich? Amen. Isn't that right? You got plenty of practice worrying. Amen. You're good at it by now. So if worrying about your finances could help your finances, how come you're not rich? Instead of worrying about it, what? Do what God said do and let him take care of it. Oh man, you got this situation in your home. I mean, you're just under pressure in your marriage or in your relationship with your boyfriend, your girlfriend, or whoever it is. I mean, the things that they have done to you, they just hurt you so badly. And everything in you just wants to get back at them. You want to really make it painful for them. You want to make them understand how badly they've hurt you. You want to make them see it from your perspective. But what would God have you do in that circumstance? Well, maybe it's what it says in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 31 and 32. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgave you. I asked this question before, but let me ask it again. How many of us have ever worried about somebody who was going off the track? We were worried about that person. How many of us could come up here and testify that because we were worried about them, they turned around? Oh, Mom, you're worried about me? I better change my ways. You ever seen that happen? No, no, no. Worrying is not going to change anybody. But what? The Word says, look, this is what God would have you to do. If you're in a situation where the things have gone wrong in the relationship, you need to practice kindness. You need to practice forgiveness. You need to practice praying for that person, blessing them, even though they've hurt you. And if you do that, what does God say? I'll make even your enemies be at peace with you. See, God can turn people's hearts around. You cannot change anybody. Only God can do it. So all the worrying that you put into it, oh Lord, I don't know what, you know, I don't know what's going to happen in this relationship. I don't know what, if I stay here, man, you know, 5 years from now, I have wasted 5 years of my life. Oh, I gotta, none of that is going to change your situation for the better. But if you put it in God's hands, do what God told you to do. God said, I'll turn it around for you. You see, what it comes down to is, what's the difference between worry and concern? Because you see, there is a place for being concerned, isn't there? There's a place for being concerned. If you walk out of here and you see a bunch of kids around your car, and this sort of happened, and they all have bricks in their hands, do you think you have a right to be concerned? Amen? But what's the difference between worry and concern? Worry is turmoil, agitation in your mind. Concern says, here's a situation that needs to be dealt with. Let me formulate a plan of action and deal with it. Now, when you're lying on your bed all night thinking about this thing, now see, I can tell you this from experience, you think you're formulating a plan of action. Isn't that right? You're going through all the things. What could I possibly do? I could do this, or I could do that, or I could do this, or that, or that. And then we get into, and if so-and-so would just do what they're supposed to do. Amen. But that's not a plan of action. You know what the worst thing is? You go through all of that, and the perfect plan comes into your mind. I got it. I know exactly what to do. You go to sleep, and you wake up in the morning, and you can't remember it. See, that's just worry. That's not getting you any place. If it's a concern, you ask God to give you a plan, you pray about it, and then you go do what you need to do. But worrying is just going around in that same rut in your mind over and over and over again. And the Word says that when we allow that worry to keep us in that rut, all it does is strip away our peace. Well, I want to stop worrying. I want to stop worrying. How many of you have ever tried to stop worrying? Let me see. You've tried. You've realized it's wrong, and you've tried to stop. See, my mom was like that. My mom used to say to me, I know it's wrong to worry, but I just can't help it. Any of you ever feel that way? I just can't help it. Well, at the time, I didn't know how to help her, but I know how to help her now, and I'm going to help you. Go over to Philippians chapter 4. How do I stop my mind from worrying? Philippians chapter 4, starting with verse 6. Be anxious for nothing. What does that mean? Don't worry about anything. Amen? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by what? Prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. As I was thinking about this message, I was thinking about titles. And you see the title that I came up with, Don't Worry, Be Happy. But the first title I thought about was, Why Worry When You Can Pray? But then I thought, well, now, that's not really reality, because what most of us are doing requires the title, Why Pray When You Can Worry? Because okay? That's what we've been doing, isn't that right? Why pray when you can worry? Look at what the word we just read says. Be anxious for nothing, but in how much? Everything. Do what? By prayer and supplication. With what? Thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. What does that mean in practice? You find yourself worrying about something. The moment you recognize what you're doing, recognize that you're worrying, instead of going back to your worry, what do? You take that situation right then and right there, and you turn it over to God in prayer. Lord, I have been worried about how I'm going to pay the gas bill on Friday. Lord, I'm not going to worry about that anymore. I put that in your hands. I ask you, Lord, you are my provider. You take care of it. I resign from having to worry about this thing. In the name of Jesus, I give it to you. Thank you, Lord. Said with thanksgiving, amen. Thank you, Lord, that you have already provided what I need in this circumstance in my life. You see, every time that thought occurs to you, every time your mind starts going around that, saying what, you have to take the step, the deliberate action of saying, I'm going to stop this train. And I am going to take it to God, give it to him in prayer. This specific instance, this specific circumstance that I'm worried about, Lord, I give it to you. You may need to do that 20 times a day. Amen? If you are a confirmed worrier, you've gotten good at worrying, your mind already has that rut. So you may need to go back to that 20 times a day. Lord, about this gas bill on Friday, I started worrying about it again. Please forgive me. I repent and Lord, I give it to you. You have already said that you are going to provide, Lord. Hallelujah. I give you thanks, Lord, for the provision that you have already provided for my needs. 20 times a day if you need to do it. But every time you find yourself worrying, you got to do that. You gotta do it. It will make a difference in your life. It will change your life. I'm talking from experience. It will change your life. How many of you here who know Priscilla and me believe that we don't have anything that we could worry about if we wanted to? You know us. Amen. We got plenty of stuff we could worry about. Some of it's you. Amen. And we have to make the deliberate choice. Instead of worrying about that stuff, we're going to turn it over to the Lord. And when my mind goes back and wants to gnaw on that thing, you know what the word worry comes from? It's like an animal with a piece of meat, a bone, and he gets down there and he just gnaws on it and gnaws on it and keeps gnawing on it. That's what your mind does when you're worried. Just keeps at it. And when your mind starts doing that, you've got to stop it and go and take it to God. And as I said, if it takes you doing it 20 times a day, you got to do it. Look at verse 9 again in Philippians chapter 4. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. And the peace of God will be with you. Do you catch what it's saying? It didn't say, these things which you have learned, believe it and appreciate it and testify about it. Tell everybody how good it is. Oh, that was a good word I heard. Amen. What did it say? Do it. If you want to have the peace of God in your life, what? You've got to do it. You can't just think about it, can't just appreciate it, can't just say it's great. You're going to have to do it. My challenge to you today is this. Leave here as a believer who is determined not to spend another day worried about the things that are happening in your life. Oh, I know it's been a long time, it's been years that you've been worrying about this stuff, but you ought to have recognized by now that it hadn't done you any good. So you need to make the decision today. Lord, from this moment forward, I resign from the Warriors Club. Lord, they recommended me for president, but Lord, I'm resigning from the Warriors Club. And every time my mind begins to get wrapped up in worry, as soon as I recognize what's going on, I am going to deliberately and specifically bring that issue to you, leave it before your altar, step away from it, and not worry about it anymore. It'll take you time. You're developing a new habit in your life. But guess what? God says that when you do that, it'll be Him working in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. He'll back you up. He'll give you what you need to overcome those habits that you've had of worrying all the time, worrying all the time. He'll do it for you. But you have to take the first step. And then you have to take the next step and the next step and the next step. One step at a time. Every time you worry, specifically give it to God. And He will come through for you. Amen. From this moment forward, Lord, I am not going to be a worrier anymore. Instead of being a worrier, I am going to be a prayer. Every time my mind wants to worry, I'll bring it to you.